You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Joe Genicaro, it's Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. And boy, do we have an exciting episode for you guys. The Tampa Bay Lightning, I dare say, are officially back. Oh my goodness, what a week it was. Guys, super excited to have you here with us. Got a lot to get into this week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in live with us once again. Drop your comments down below to join the conversation. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Before we get into all the game recaps and stuff going around the league, first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Hanging in there. Cup of Joe in hand, because this is going to be a late one tonight, starting off our podcast at 7:30, and then when still 2 hours away before puck drop for our Bolts, but it's going to be a fun night. I'm looking forward to it still. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing real well. It's hard to complain about a five-game win streak. You know, you beat two not good teams, really good teams in tow with getting this done. Much better vibes than even last week when we were coming in on a two-game win streak. So just good vibes all around this week.
Good vibes is right. But, you know, Joe, you got your coffee. I'm going to need to take an extra nap, maybe get some drinks of my own, because these West Coast road trips are brutal. At least we're not on the three where it's like, you know, San Jose, the Sharks, and they're all like 10:30, 10 o'clock starts.
Yeah, Vancouver and Seattle and San Jose, all those Northwest teams. Yeah, those are the tough ones. I did see though that they do the over the air replays something like at like 8 a.m. The next morning. So you know, even if you don't have the app and you know still want to catch the Bolts, it'd almost be like live as long as you don't open up your sports apps before watching the game.
I'm too tapped in. I can't do that. Like, you know, first thing I do, like when I wake up, I'm checking my fantasy team, checking like what the scores of the other games were that night. Like, it'd take a lot of discipline for me to sit down first thing in the morning and rewatch a whole Lightning game. I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I wouldn't be able to do it. But let's get into some of these hockey games here for the Lightning, because there's a lot of good to talk about. As Beverly says, what a difference a week makes. Yes, absolutely, Beverly. You're 100% right, because this was a fantastic week for the Lightning. By the way, if you want to join the conversation and join us live, don't forget to follow us on social media at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning. Ring the bell for notifications so you know when we go live. First game we're going to talk about here, though, guys, is against the Nashville Predators. Lightning in Nashville on a quick little road trip in this one, and they win it by a final score of 5-2. The offense was out in full force in this one, and none other than Zemgus Girgensons, who is having himself a game. Holy cow, Girgensons, man. He has come out of nowhere. He has been really, really good for the Lightning. He's already beat his goal totals from last year, by the way, after this week. So great stuff from Girgensons. Hagel getting involved. Nikita Kucherov, disastrous, gets his first NHL goal. Congrats to him as well. Great game overall from the Lightning. They get a big win.
I'm just saying, the Lightning have not lost since the Latvian Locomotive has gotten his way back into the lineup. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but Zemgus Girgensons might be the best player ever. No, it's crazy that, you know, his third game of the year, he already matches his season high total of last year. And it didn't really come out of nowhere. Like, he's a guy that puts in good effort. He's a great fourth liner, but he had a wicked preseason too. He had a 2-goal game in the preseason. Yeah, we know don't put a whole lot of stock into the preseason, but still, like, he looked like he was really good coming into this year. And unfortunately, you know, he got brutally headshotted or boarded in that game. So he was out for the start of the year. So good. I'm glad that he's back. This team's really starting to take shape. The fourth line's really starting to take shape, and just a good game all around. Like, yeah, what was the final score? 5-2. It was a little closer than you'd like it to be considering how well the Bolts played, but you know, those crazy final two and a half minutes with the empty net, and then Nashville comes and scores, and then you score again. Crazy, crazy game, but a very, very well played game by the Bolts, I'd say.
Against former teammates that are on that roster, Perbix had a pretty good opportunity to score and wasn't able to pull it off. And of course, it's, you know, always bittersweet to see Stamkos on the ice, but in opposing colors. You know, that game, the first goal that went in, you know, for the Lightning there, was actually started by, you know, Gergesen's first was started by a blast that Lilleberg had from the point that just crippled Joost, and he wasn't able to get back into the play. Having basically your fourth line go out there buzzing, grind away when they have an opportunity and put one in is a really good sign for that depth scoring. And, you know, like we had said, his grind being Gergensen's didn't end there, having the two goals on the night. So really solid effort. And one more stat for him is he went 500 in the faceoff, which was still dramatically better than the rest of the team, because they, again, are in a little bit of face-off circle trouble here. 34% at the dots, 34 to 66. I mean, you're giving away literally two-thirds of possession right off the bat. So despite those struggles, they still came through with a win, and something that's good to see them continue the streak that they started while they get off to the road.
It was just nice to see the guys come out really strong in the first two periods of this game. Matt, you kind of mentioned it. You know, they were playing really good, only had a goal to show for it in the first period, one more later to be up 2-0 until going into the third. But just that they were playing good hockey, right? Again, finally seeing that process, which we weren't seeing at all in the first couple of weeks of the season. So great start there. They eventually do get some of those goals to roll through, and they end up getting a big win. Joe, you mentioned the faceoffs. Another one issue in this game that we saw has been the power play. Power play 0 for 4 in this one, which is not great. And normally the Lightning have had a top 5 power play every year. This is not stemmed back to, like, this has been an issue for a couple of years. This is really a this year issue that we've seen. Hasn't been great. So faceoffs and power play, a little bit of a concern. But again, overall, you come out, you play strong, and you get a big 2 points. You can't ask for much more than that.
Those power play issues, they seem to happen every year. You know, it kind of goes in waves and troughs, and the Lightning just have this real big tendency to rely on their power play being completely stationary and outpassing the other team. I'd love to see them get a couple of extra looks, like we saw. Was it last year, maybe the year before, putting Kucherov on the left side just to have a different look at the ice. But I kind of wouldn't mind seeing some other people headman the power play, except for it being Hedman. That wasn't supposed to be a play on words there, but have someone else back there just to kind of see if a different look, and maybe some youth can get some movement out, make the power play a little bit more dynamic. I don't know. That my two cents, at least.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been starting over there, but Kucherov has been kind of meandering his way over into that, like, left wing area. He's kind of swapping with Bjorkstrand, whoever is playing in that left wing area. I'd like to see a little bit more from Point. Like, that's where he gets, you know, all his cookies is on the power play, but they haven't really been able to get it to Point. And teams have been cracking down on that for 3 or 4 years now, Point in the bumper slot. And, you know, they've made the correct adjustments to be able to get it to him, putting Point on the left wing and swinging Cooch around wherever he might be. But yeah, maybe some different personnel would be nice. I think last year before or after Bjorkstrand got injured, they had him in that bumper slot, and it seemed to work out pretty well. I'd like maybe just that center and winger swap right there before you really start making drastic changes. But yeah, it has been a sleepy power play, and I'd like to see Braden Point get the puck a little bit more. The entries, they seem to be fine. Like, they're getting in the zone all right, which has hardly ever been a problem for them with Braden Point's speed as well. But it's just that finishing. They're overpassing, not really shooting a lot. It seems like they start shooting a lot when they're getting desperate, when time's starting to dwindle down. So at least second unit got a goal.
Yeah, that's true.
In the next game.
Right. Usually we don't see a second unit get a goal at all for the power play. But they have to overpass. That's literally the way that they're set up. You know, you kind of have an umbrella over the top and then try to pull out one of the defending players. And when there's not a real shooting threat from the left side, they're literally just almost there as a distraction to try getting one of the defending players to come away from the middle of the ice, which would open it up. And it's just not, there's not enough scoring threat from that left side to justify taking somebody away from like a man on position from Braden Point, who's in the slot. But why would you take away their one of their top weapons for scoring when you know that the likelihood of it coming from the other side is just so low? So yeah, I mean, it's something that they've been working on, I guess, for a while, but I think that you're going to see more struggles to come and then some brilliance against certain teams that our overpassing style happens to work well against, and then big struggles again when we have teams that are more aggressive and don't allow us to set up.
And another thing too, I guarantee everyone shares the same sentiment, but I would love to see Kucherov shoot more as well. Like, he's got a top tier one timer in the league. It seemed like, you know, only a couple of years ago, he scored, you know, three straight one timer goals for a hat trick in a game against the Sens, I think it was. But he's not that kind of shooter anymore. We all know he's the pass first guy. He's looking to make that awesome, sick fake shot to get it to Braden Point or something. But I'd like to see him shoot more. Just a couple one tees from that right side. Even if it doesn't work, causes a bit of a scramble. You've got the extra guy out there that you can recover the puck. So maybe I'd like to see that a little bit more.
Oh, and remember, when you had Steven Stamkos on that other side, it worked really well, because what was Stamkos? He was a shooter, and Kucherov was the pass-first guy, and typically, and every once in a while, he would shoot the puck, but that combo worked really well, and I don't think anybody's really filled into that Stamkos role still yet. I think they're still kind of hunting for that. I'm sure they'll get there eventually, and it's a little bit of a different look power play than it is when Stamkos was here, but I think
that's you can never fill that role, because he was such a scoring threat. You had to very quickly try to move someone into that lane, and then his shot, even if it didn't go in, would force a puck recovery, and that is dynamic movement right there. So the subsequent shots that came after, everyone's kind of in a mad scramble where they actually do really well. You know, they're so structured that they know where each player is going to be. We just don't have anyone there's not many people in the entire league. I could probably name seven that would have a shot that would even work from that spot. And you know, we play against a few of them in the East too.
And I think even last year we tried to put Darren Radish on that left wing spot to fill that void of Stamkos being gone. He cannot hit the net. No. So that is a bit of a glaring weakness right now, is that left wing one time option.
I'm sure they're going to continue to work on it, and hopefully I don't have as much confidence as Joe, but hopefully they'll get it back on track and going here. A couple of quick comments here. I do want to point out Beverly talking about the young guys who have been playing really well in general, and also on the second power play unit. Absolutely right. Especially Dominic James. Not especially Dominic James, but both these guys have been fantastic. You know, we always talk about, you know, the Lightning have those one or two players that come about almost seemingly out of nowhere and really make an impact to help the Lightning out a lot. And I think those two have been really, really good and are making a case that they can really make an impact.
One thing about Dominic James too, is you can tell he's in favor with the coaches right now. Like, first of all, you know, even just taking faceoffs anywhere, but he's getting defensive zone faceoffs.
JP got sent down basically because of him.
Yeah. He's kind of stole his job, but if you have a coach, like, you've played what, six, seven NHL games, and you were what, a seventh round draft pick, you've got no pedigree, and the coach trusts you enough to be out there taking defensive zone faceoffs, then you know you're in favor with the coaches. Like, it's not a, you know, it seems so minute, but it's not an easy task to do. And he's been excelling at it. It's a shame he doesn't have a goal quite yet.
He lost every single draw in the game against the Predators.
I'm just saying the coaches have faith in him.
But you're right on the other. I just thought that was a kind of stunning actually pulling it up.
Quick comment here from Ethan as well, saying you need to show your elite scoring for the fake shot to be even more effective. That's very true. Listen, Kucherov and passing the puck. It's just, it's bread and butter as it kind of goes right now. Let's look at the next game for the Bolts, though, because as they continue to play really well down this week, they would come back home to Amal Arena to play on against the Dallas Stars. That game broadcast on TNT, by the way. And the celebration for Nikita Kucherov hitting 1,000 points.
Would have been nice to see it.
Guys, I have a bone to pick with TNT. And they did not show the ceremony. And this really, really got under my skin. You guys know this because I was yelling a lot of things in our Discord chat. But just a terrible, terrible job by the NHL and specifically TNT to not show that. How you can have a premier player in the NHL, one of the best to do it in Nikita Kucherov, and not show a celebration like that. And we know how good the Lightning have done with their ceremonies and how well put on they are. To not show that is quite frankly unbelievable. Now, they did pull it up for like a minute. And the analysts were talking the whole entire time. I just do not understand. You want to grow the game, you want to get better, and you're not going to show something like that? That's a bad look, in my opinion, by TNT. But hey, let's throw some more ads on the ice to help make us some more money and not grow the game. But anyways, I digress. Overall, it was a good game for the Bolts. They come through, they win it by a final score of 2-1. A little frustrating because, well, it felt like the Lightning were playing really good. They just couldn't get the puck in the back of the net. Credit to the Dallas Stars defense and their netminder playing so well. But Matt, you said this. Anthony Cirelli comes through in overtime. And what I think might be the best goal this season, it may not be topped. It was an unbelievable play from Anthony Cirelli, poking the puck to himself, getting around, and that awesome move, even when he's getting hit by a stick flying around and sneaks it in short side. Oh, boy, what an overtime for the Bolts.
Let me start from the beginning to play devil's advocate for – No, you're good. For the TNT broadcast, playing devil's advocate, they have an elite pregame show, elite intermission show. Like, it is the best.
Interviews were amazing.
Oh, John Cooper was great in that. But even if it's two teams I dislike, the TNT panel does a good job of putting on a good show. Paul Bissonnette, Liam McHugh, and all the other rotating guys that they have on the panel with them, they do a good job. So I understand they want to put the emphasis on an already good product to watch the pregame, watch the intermission show. But at the same time, even Morgan's a little upset about it right now. At the same time, this is a literal once in a lifetime thing. Like, I kind of wish the Lightning would have maybe done it for a regional game. Just wait, I don't know, what, this week? Is this game at? No, it's not at home. But wait until you get a non-regional game, a game where you can actually broadcast the ceremony to all your fans instead of me having to go the next morning and find it on the YouTube page, when it just kind of doesn't hit the same. Like, I want to watch it live. It was still a great ceremony, still great to watch the YouTube video, but it just doesn't hit the same.
That's fair to say. I mean, but at the same rate, what are they going to do? You know, the guys that are broadcasting the TNT stuff, you know, I don't think the majority of fans, just the local ones do. It would have been nice if they used the spot or whatever our local broadcasting is called, and actually simulcast, so it's not the actual game, it's just that ceremony. That would have been neat because there was the pregame show mm-hmm. that they had on the station anyway. I wonder at what point the rights to broadcast shut off. Is it anything inside the arena on a game night when like TNT is broadcasting? I mean, it's getting technical now at that point, but that would have been neat if we could have at least seen it on that locally.
See, I had both on.
I knew the pregame shows.
Yeah, I had the TNT broadcast and the spot broadcast. And it was 7 o'clock. It ended. So I'm not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a curious question. When does it end? What is the extent of your broadcasting rights? But mine ended dead on the dot 7.
Dead.
For 7:30.
So in terms of the game,
yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty good test from for the Lightning, because the Dallas Stars I don't remember if we were talking before the show, if we actually mentioned it during the show, that basically every single team in the Eastern Conference is above 500 right now. Yeah. It is insane to think about every single one. So there's a few very elite teams that are in the West, and the Dallas Stars were one of them. And that was a pretty big test. It was a low-scoring game, which the Lightning have not been super solid with the goals against average for the beginning part of the season. But, I mean, obviously they stepped up for it. Vasi had a great game with a .952 save percentage. So heck of an effort on one of those grittier types of games. Still weren't great in the faceoff, but they ended up keeping their style or keeping their form nice and tight, which is what they needed to go against a team like this and to show that they can win games that aren't just fast-paced kind of gunslinger styles.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job in this game, limiting Dallas's chances. I mean, outshooting them, what, 11-6 in the first, 11-4 in the second period? That stat, just the second period stat alone, is crazy for the Lightning. So, no, they did a good job of just limiting everything Dallas had up until the third period. That's when they really started to have a comeback. It took a not crazy, but a little bit of a gross goal going in against Jake Oettinger, you know, his own player putting it in his net, which I think we're bearing the lead here. Brandon Hagel scored a power play goal. It didn't come directly off his stick, but Brandon Hagel has a power play goal. So that's just crazy in and of itself right there. But alas, it was just a really, really good game throughout all of regulation. Overtime, you know, it was a little iffy. It was a little scary. But like I say, take the over on Anthony Cirelli playing the Dallas Stars. Take him for an anytime goal scorer. It always, always hits, man. You guys got to start. I should have bet on it. I don't like betting a whole lot, but I really should have because I know it's always a lot.
100% right, Matt, because it was truly unbelievable, and it was another fantastic goal.
It's very believable.
You mentioned the Hagel power play goal, by the way, which Paul Bissonnette gave him a very hard time about. Even they were asking about it after the game, and Hagel knows, like, it's been a while. He's been almost feels like snake bitten, but that was one that almost didn't go in either. I mean, just barely crossed over that line, and you know, good job by the officials to blow that play dead, although I think they blew it dead mostly because the horn went off. So shout out to the horn operator. He knew that puck was in the back of the net.
Official said he gave the goal signal and then waved
that's
it off.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about that real quick because I thought that was kind of weird. He called goal and then kind of thought about it and then said no goal. I've never seen something like that before. Usually an official is going to commit to their call and stick with it and then go look at it. I thought that was interesting that they called goal and then waved it off out of nowhere.
I like that though. I love that because, I mean, the call on the ice has to be overturned by video evidence, right? And if he was initially saying that it went in and then thinks, oh, that was closer, kind of replays it in his brain. I don't know that I actually saw any white in between the line and the puck. And he's like, from what I saw, actually didn't go in. Good on him correcting himself for what he thought would be the best call, because you get way too many refs, at least in the stupid beer leagues that I play in, that will make an atrocious call and then double down on it. And now they just look even stupider because it was so blatant and you've got more animosity. I'd rather, you know, somebody be like, I couldn't actually tell, you know, definitively that it went in. I'm going to change my mind. And then at least there you can go straight to video replay. It's odd that, you know, that it happened, but I like it. I like it. It's better than like the phantom whistle that cost the Bucks a touchdown, you know?
Thank you. Still upset.
I still think officials should be allowed one just look at the camera and just go, I don't know. Let's go to replay and take a look at it. That'd be very, very entertaining. But nonetheless, they got the call right. They got it on replay, and Hagel gets his big power play goal. And then Cirelli later in overtime wins it for the Bolts. Another big 2 points, little winning streak going for the Lightning. Lots to like from the team overall. By the way, a couple of stats for you. We mentioned shots on goal, 33-21 in favor of the Bolts. Faceoffs a little better, 43.5%. Stars still are the better team, 56.5%. Power play, 1-for-4. Penalty kill was successful, though, in going 3-for-3. So there's a good sign there. Penalty kill's been good for a while now, too. Mm-hmm. But they've continued to stay hot. So some good numbers there for the Bolts. Let's get to a couple of comments here. I see a couple in there. Two here, quick from Daniel. This one going back to the ceremony. The TNT panel is best in the game right now. And, yeah, they are very – TNT is the best. Aside from ESPN, obviously, it's ESPN and TNT. TNT is fantastic. Pre-game ceremony for an individual player's stats doesn't grow the game in any way. I'm going to disagree with you there. Because this is not just any player for his individual stat. This is Nikita Kucherov, one of the top players. Just like if, you know, for Alex Ovechkin, when he hits those major milestones, you're going to show those ceremonies and it's showing the best player. And hey, this is the guy you want to watch and look at all these amazing accomplishments that he did. But that's just me. Also, and this is a good question, I think, too, asking about the East Division and the West Division. Is it really that there are elite teams in the West or that there's bottom feeders in the West and the decent teams can stack points against? That's a good question. Guys, you want to take this first?
I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, a Western Conference team makes it to the Stanley Cup Finals every year. Jesus. No, I mean, it's, you know, probably also makes sense that an Eastern team wins it every year, it seems, over the last 2 years, I guess. But, no, I mean, yes, you're going to have elite teams in both divisions. Yes, there are plenty worse teams in the Western Conference right now. Like, you've still got the San Jose Sharks, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Nashville Predators. Like, the teams are struggling a lot more over here, which I kind of over there, which I kind of dislike. Again, everyone in the Atlantic is within, you know, 1 or 2 points of a playoff spot right now, like a divisional playoff spot right now. So there's just a lot more chaos over here. So I think it's partially true.
Matt, you're kind of wrong, because this is true. We technically had out the West when all the divisions got realigned, that's, and it was a giant mess. That's
technicality. Let's look at a couple of these bottom feeders, though, that are in the West. Calgary Flames with 3 Ooh. Wins. That's the worst of the worst. Then you've got the Wild, the Sharks, and the Blues all with 4 wins. Those are 13 games played for them, 14 for the Flames with their 3 wins. So pretty big differential there in terms of who's performing and who's not. But then at the top of the standings, too, you've got the Avs with Frauds. Only 1 regulation loss, 7-1-5. And then the Jets with a record of 9-3. And the Kraken are up there too. Actually, let's talk about the third in the Central, which is you know, kind of tidily brings us into the next game. They are 8-4. So, you know, pretty good team in the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, good transition.
Yeah, the Utah Mammoth have been playing some unbelievable hockey, and they have been almost a surprise. Maybe not to some, but they've been hot. A lot of guys really stepping up for that team. They had not lost a game at home until the Tampa Bay Lightning showed up and played. Guys, I want to say their best hockey game of the year so far. Lightning come in, they win 4-2 against the Utah Mammoth. Really nice game from the Bolts overall here, even though the Mammoth do score first to get a 1-0 lead. From there, Bolts pretty much control it. Mammoth come back in the third period to tie it 2-2 early, but the Lightning quickly said, no, we're not having none of that, and got back on track, got a 2-goal lead, and ended up winning this one. And again, Jonas Johansson in net for this game, by the way. He played another excellent game. But just love to see this resiliency from the Bolts. You know, they're playing out on the road against the Mammoth, very good team. And this was it wasn't a dominated game by the Bolts, but, you know, gritty, good hockey, bounced back when they needed it to, offense, defense, everything. Really, really, really good game from the Lightning.
I don't know if I can call it the, like, best game that they've played this year. It's definitely top 3, top 5, maybe. It's a win, so it's definitely a good game. But I can safely say that it was probably my favorite game to watch this year. It had a little bit of everything. Highlight reel goals. It had a bunch of scrappiness. It was a win. Like, it was just a good performance all around. Johansson had a really good game as well. And it was our first real glimpse at the Utah team. And not, you know, I guess it is our first real glimpse at the Mammoth. You know, they were the hockey club last year. And again, it's always fun seeing, you know, the familiar faces of Mikhail Sergachev and Ian Cole, I guess. That was an experiment. But coming in against a really, really good team, they were on a 7 or 8 game winning streak, something like that. I think they had lost the night prior, or 2 nights prior, but still, they're coming in on a heater. And you go in there, you go away, and put up a pretty dominant performance. It was a great game all around. And Joe, I got to give credit to your guy, Lilleberg. He made an amazing play to get the Bolts on the board.
Let's talk about it, because I have it pulled up right here. You get Gergensen entering the zone on the right side. He drops it to a Yanni Gourde. Yanni Gourde takes the puck again towards the right, but drops it further to Lilleberg, who's just entering the zone, who takes 2 strides towards the left and immediately finds backdoor no one other than Yanni Gourde for a one-timer back of the net. Most beautiful goal of the season. Man, was that nice.
Yeah, Jake, you said the Anthony Cirelli goal was probably your favorite of the season, but this one takes the cake for me so far. I love a good team effort,
good point,
and tic-tac-toe goal. So then, you know, the common denominator of it was Zemgus Gergensen's again, just putting this team on his back. No, what a goal. It was a great goal all around.
No, not Gergensen's, but what was it? Let me find here the Labor Locomotive. I love this nickname. That's fantastic. But yeah, that was a nasty, nasty goal. I was actually listening to this game while driving back to St. Lucie, and Michael had texted me and said, "You're going to need to watch this goal." He was absolutely right, because it was a fantastic play by everybody involved to get the Lightning tied up at the time. So great stuff from them. Cirelli, by the way, again in the score sheet in this game as well. Jake Guentzel, he scores one here. Hagel with the empty netter. And I was a little disappointed because I had a parlay that had a couple of legs and everything hit except for Kucherov getting an assist, and he couldn't help me out there at the empty net. But, you know, I digress. This was such a good game from the Bolts. And you know, Matt, I think the reason I say this was their best game, not because it was like not their best played game overall, but just because, listen, you're playing a good team of Utah at home, when not lost a game, by the way, at home. And they – you know, they got the job done. You know, you're going to run into tough teams sometimes, and these are those gritty kinds of wins that you have to, that good teams are going to show off and be able to play. I think that's why I really love this game. But fantastic job by the Bolts to get the win. They're now on a hot streak here, 5 in a row, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, here for the Bolts. By the way, a couple of numbers, shots on goal, 26-27, pretty even. Faceoffs, 44.3%. So again, better, but still losing the faceoff battle. Power play 0-for-2, penalty kill again 3-for-3. So there's been some theme of the weeks, right? Lightning are winning games, playing overall very well. Power play has not been good. Penalty kill has been good. Faceoffs have been an issue. It's kind of the theme we saw through every single game.
Yeah. And another thing I'm going to bring up that people probably aren't going to like is what's happening to Hedman here? He is looking so bad. The one goal against was pretty much directly his fault, where he just passed it right to the point. And there's been so many plays this season that I just think he's been looking either off defensively, not as strong offensively. And I think the first half of the season too, people were getting numbers confused and seeing all these bad plays. They just blamed everything that had a 7 in front on 78 when 77 wasn't looking very good either. So I hope he starts improving, but I mean, this isn't the Norris candidate, perennial Norris candidate that we're used to in seasons past, man. I wonder if there's something still ailing him.
Yeah, not even a little bit. Like, this game was bad. Like, he's had his glaring moments, and it might just be one or two in a game, but there were probably 5 or 6 that I could count in this game, like the one that led to a goal, and there were a couple that didn't end up hurting the Lightning, but there were a couple just bad plays where he just straight up gives it to a guy or just leaves the puck, whatever it might be. This game was a bad, bad game for Victor, and I don't think it's a too unpopular opinion, Joe. Like, a lot of people are really starting to come on board because it's the objective truth. Like, his defense and even just moving the puck out of the zone, which was kind of his biggest flaw this game, moving the puck out of the zone, just is not quite there anymore. He's still elite on the power play. He's still good at putting up points. It's probably going to start tailing off soon, but man, that defense, he's got to get something together because we've got another 3 years after this of that. So part of me is kind of like, man, wish we would kept Sergachev instead of him. You know, they both make the same amount. So Jake, your eyes lit up with that, but I'm starting to think that. I'm not too sure, but yeah, this game was rough by every facet of him.
I have nothing to say about a Lightning captain that is struggling at older age and is a big part of the team history. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going down this road again.
I mean, you replaced him with a much better player, so.
No, they did. They did do that. So maybe they'll do it again. But I'm gonna stay away from this one this time. It's unfortunate. I hope he starts to play better hockey because he's the captain of this team. He's been the part of the Lightning franchise his whole entire career. You hate to see a guy like that struggle, and it's just like I've hated to see Steven Stamkos struggle. So. Hopefully he can turn around. Maybe I hate to say this, but I almost hope that there is an injury that's dealing with him because at least that explains what's going on. I have faith that he'll be able to turn around at some point.
Have you seen him try and turn around?
What's that?
I said, have you seen him try and turn around? Doesn't happen very quickly.
Just kind of in the same vein, though, and this is something that I had no clue about until just before this podcast, looking at the overall points leaders in the NHL, Evgeny Malkin is in second right now. At his advanced age, you know, I mean, he's got 19 points on the season, and that's one below Mark Scheifele, who's at 20.
This happens every year with Evgeny Malkin. Like over the last 4 years, he comes out of the gates flaming hot and then gets injured and comes back and is pretty mediocre. He's a top tier player. He's one of the best of all time, but it seems like this happens every year. And Malkin's a guy that I cheer for, even if it is, you know, a Penguins player. Like I kind of love him and hate him, but we'll see if this continues.
39 years old.
Jeez.
Maybe there's hope for Hedman yet.
Listen, Hedman's still a very, very talented player. We all know this. Not playing great right now, but players go through slumps and tough streaks. It's going to happen sometimes, especially when you do get older. I do want to get to a comment here, if I can find it again. You guys are blowing up the chat. Love to see it. Everybody joining the conversation. Here it is. For Daniel saying, anyone seeing the advanced stats going around comparison Sergachev and Moser? Because, Matt, you had mentioned about, you know, jokingly saying we should keep Sergachev over Hedman. I have not seen these, so I don't know exactly what they look like, but two premier defensemen, you know, that are playing very well for their respective teams right now. You know, it is crazy to think about if we did keep Sergachev, although I just don't think it would have been possible with the Lightning's cap situation and how that all played out. But have you guys seen any of those stats? I have not.
No. I don't really look at advanced stats too much. I can tell you they're both playing great.
Can get weird sometimes. I do like looking at them though. They, you know, they make me feel smarter than I actually am. So you know,
it's an at a glance thing. But the overemphasis on away from the play plus minus is a little too heavily weighted in my opinion.
Whatever happened to Corsi? That was such a simple stat. We don't use that anymore.
What was like the most is too hard to actually explain.
And, you know, expected goals for is easier. Like, Corsi is easy to explain, but PDO.
The question right after it or the comment right after it from Ethan.
Oh, yes. Ethan mentioning crazy how the media was asking if John Cooper should be fired the first 2 weeks, and then he turned that team around just like that. The fans and the media that were doing that. I think I said it when we were initially talking about this. You know, listen, John Cooper is the longest tenured head coach for a reason. He is one of the best coaches, if not the best coach to do in the league right now. And you give a guy like that some time to figure things out. Things don't always go right away. Also why a guy like Victor Hedman could also turn it around. These guys know what they're doing. You have to give them a little bit of respect, honestly.
Yeah, and it's worth a conversation, if nothing else than just to allow yourself a moment of pause to realize what is happening at a deeper level. But the internet loves a scapegoat, and that's kind of why I've been taking a harder stance about Lilleberg not being as terrible as everyone makes him out to be, because all of a sudden people aren't talking about him anymore. The team's playing well, and when you don't have success, then everyone's looking for a really quick fix. There's not necessarily a quick fix for absolutely everything that's out there. So seeing ridiculous comments like, let's get rid of the best coach in the NHL, you can use them as a thought exercise, but it's hard to also take those people seriously when it's like four games in.
We're Lightning fans. We blame the assistant coaches, not the head coach.
Damn right.
There you go. Well, overall, it's been a fantastic week for the Lightning. They get on their winning streak. They're sitting in a wild card spot right now. A little crazy, like we said, with the East Division, all above 500. But I think it's time to talk about who really stood out above the rest in our three stars of the week. Another week where, honestly, it was a little tough to pick because there were a lot of guys that really did stand out and play some good hockey. But let's start with the number three star of the week. This one I kind of picked, guys. I said I wanted him on the list. I think he deserves it. And that is Jonas Johansson, who gets the third star of the week. You know, he doesn't get to play a lot. He's actually played a lot more this year than he has ever before, which is great. Finally seeing Vasilevskiy get a little bit of rest for once. They always said they're going to do that, but never have. But plays really great hockey overall, especially in the Mammoth game, and he gets the third star of the week.
He's getting basically weekly starts now, which is, I think, a good thing, especially given the fact that he's won three out of four games that he's been in. All of his games, even his loss, is above 900 save percentage. He's doing the stuff that you need your backup goalie to do and more. And another guy that fans were talking about getting rid of in the offseason to replace with somebody else, but he's doing his part and has been doing a great job. So I'm just so happy that he's been able to get some wins when got the first win of the season. Actually, he got the first two wins of the season, yeah. Didn't he? With a team that was struggling so well, and good on him for continuing his play.
Yeah, I'm ready to give him the reins for the starting job. In all seriousness, it seems like every year, that he plays with the Lightning, which is odd that it's three now. I can't remember the last time we've had a backup goalie, the same backup goalie for 3 years. We're going on a decade or something, or pretty much, yeah, since Vasilevskiy.
Did he do two?
Only two.
There you go. I even passed that. Yeah, it has been a while, hasn't it?
So, but it seems like every year he just gets better and better, and he's been playing good. The guys have been playing good in front of him. And Joe, you kind of alluded to it too. Everyone thinks that it's the easiest job in the world being the backup to Andrei Vasilevskiy. But when you go two, sometimes 3 weeks not starting or not getting into a game at all, you go in cold. Even if you get your warm-ups and get some shots on you in practice, whatever, you're going in ice cold. So I'm glad that they're start giving Vazzy a bit of a break and keeping JoJo, in a good rhythm as well. So it seems to really be paying dividends for everyone, but especially JoJo.
And I've probably said 100 times, there's no shape like game shape. And, getting those reps, man, they are so important.
Sounds like a t-shirt idea. You can go over to shop.rblrsports.com and check out the awesome shirts that we do have over there for you guys. Don't forget, links are always in the description. You can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order, as I misclicked this button to get the thing on screen. There we go. Shop.rblrsports.com. Use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdy, Sun, team-inspired merch, you name it, we got it. Be sure to go check it out. Grab a cool t-shirt, and it supports the show. All right, number two star of the week. This is another guy who has continued to play great hockey. For my money, as I've said before, is one of the best acquisitions in Lightning history, and that is none other than future captain Brandon Hagel, who gets the second star of the week. Great stuff from him. He finishes with 3 goals, 1 assist, 4 points, and was a +4.
Brandon Hagel, power play goal, enough said. That's enough for the first star. That's enough for the first star of the month from the NHL, actually.
Yeah, he I had his stats here pulled up, but the first goal that he got too was, you know, driving the net, getting into a dirty area, making himself effective, and that's something that he constantly does, and he does even when the rest of the team's not playing as well, not playing as physical. He doesn't give up on it, and to get a goal like that to start off, you know, this week, is just so fitting for a player like that. So, you know, glad to see him continue and get rewarded, because he definitely has the heart out there when he's pushing.
I should have tried to buy low on Brandon Hagel in my fantasy league this year. I didn't end up sending the offer. I ended up trying to buy low. I did buy low on Braden Point. I'm hoping to see him on this list sometime soon, but that's a different topic in and of itself. But yeah, Brandon Hagel, from considering his slow start to the year, it's great to see him back to, if not better than his usual self. Like, he has just been a gamer this year so far, these last, you know, 2 weeks or so. Did he make it on our list last week? I think he did. Regardless, if not, he had a case for it.
Brendan Hagel?
Yeah.
I'm 90% sure that he did. He's been playing. No, he did, because he played really well. You know, he quite wasn't, as I get a phone call here. My
apologies. Way to go, Jake.
You know, I thought I put my computer on do not disturb. Apparently not. Anyway, yeah, Hagel was playing really good. You could see that hustle. We did give him a star. Now the results are starting to come through for him as well. But Matt, you mentioned one player that you had kind of on your mind and confused him for a second, and that's Anthony Cirelli. But quite understandable, because he had a fantastic week as well, and he gets the number one star of the week. Anthony Cirelli, boy, scored that beautiful goal against the Dallas Stars. I'll say it again, 2 goals, 2 assists for 4 points, and was a +5, by the way, which did lead the team this week. Okay,
seems really important, Jake.
Do you need to take it? We can hold.
My brother calling me. He doesn't know what it means when you hang up right away. That means
well, be sure that you hit that subscribe and hit the notification bell, so you'll always know when we're live. We won't try calling your family members. Look, Cirelli, defensively, I've got some gripes with some of the stuff he's done. There's at least one goal against that I think was completely his fault. But the offensive upside that he's showing, he's nearly at a point per game pace. He showed some brilliance at the beginning of last season before he just had a huge taper off in December. But if he continues to play the way he did this week, then we don't even need a hot Braden Point in order to make up for the lack of scoring there, because it's going to be all Cirelli. I mean, taking over the overtime game win, just putting it on his stick and finishing. That's what you expect to see out of him every now and then, but it seems like that was all we saw out of him for these three games, is really just working hard and getting out there and on the offensive side of the puck, especially making things happen. And see, let's hope he keeps it going.
Yeah, it's great that he's putting up numbers like this, but I'd also like to have Braden Point firing at the same time. They don't play on the same line or anything like that, so it is a possibility, especially with my fantasy implications. I really need him to wake up. We know he likes to sleep through his alarm clock. but no, regarding Cirelli, like, I think I can start giving him the Kucherov treatment of, well, he does so much good for the team that I can look past the few bad things that happen again. And it's so out of character for him as well. That's something that you have to imagine, you know, regresses back to the mean. He gets back to that elite defensive play. I assume that would also mean that his offense tapers off as well. You know, if you're high risk, it's high reward.
They're not mutually exclusive necessarily. He could be, you know, one of those, just elite players that can do it on both sides.
Mm-hmm. But it's good that he plays with Brandon Hagel as well. I guess Hagel kind of shifts around a lot, but on the penalty kill specifically as well, you've got another just defensive stalwart back there, defensive forward that's elite at what he does to help maybe cover up those mistakes. But if he keeps scoring like this, there's really not a whole lot I'll be able to complain about at all. Can't imagine it's sustainable, but 10%, 15% into the season, you're leading your team in goals with 7. That's pretty good, and I have no complaints. Other than I don't have him on my fantasy team. It's like 4 times tonight.
Of the week, Jonas Johansson, Brandon Hagel, and Anthony Cirelli. People's Choice Award does go to the Latvian I can't say that.
Latvian locomotive.
Locomotive. He gets in there as well as people's choice of word. Hey, you know, listen, there's a lot of players that showed up this week and played really well.
I would have made a case for him, but Jake really insisted Johansson, which I have no problem with, but I could have made a case.
I did. In fact, I said debate a wall. So
so debate Johansson.
Debate Johansson. But let us know in the comments down below if you guys agree. Should he have been in the three stars? We'd love to hear what you guys have to say as always. All right, look ahead here for the Bolts. As mentioned, as of this recording, we got a game coming up here. And still like an hour, so that'll be against the Colorado Avalanche at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and then the Lightning will head to Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. That game, are you ready? I hope you got multiple cups of coffee ready for this one. It's at 10 p.m. Eastern, that game against Vegas, and then the Lightning will come back home on Saturday, take on the Washington Capitals at 7 p.m. Eastern at a much normal time. And then the Lightning will have a three-day break, and then we'll be back to recap these three games. But West Coast late-night games, these are always interesting, guys, because you don't know how it's going to go with the team traveling and having to be on that time change. Sometimes can be a little difficult, but the boys are playing well right now.
You don't know how it goes, but sometimes you don't even know how it ends until the morning. Like, they're hard games to stay up for. What day is that Vegas game? Is that Thursday?
That is Thursday.
Oh, God. And I work the next day, so I'm an early riser, so it's probably going to be a recap game for me. Tough schedule coming up ahead. You've got, the best team in the league right now in the Avs. A really good team in Vegas, Golden Knights. Who knows if I'll stay up for that one. You played really well against them at Amalie Arena, and they were kind of on a little bit of a skid as well. So it'll definitely be a little bit more challenging in that game. And who was the next game against? Oh, the Capitals back at home. So I'm glad, it's a quick-ish West Coast road trip. It'll be nice to get back at home. It's another really good team.
Tonight's obviously the big one. I don't know why I had to say tonight four times to get it out. I guess just getting kind of late. The Avs game, I mean, if they can play well with this away game, they've got two of the top five points getters in the league right now. This is top 10, but I mean, this is going to be a really good test to see how well the Lightning are doing after being on their win streak and starting to gain some confidence. It's one of those, I kind of feel like it's one of those things where you're set up for failure, where you get the altitude, the time difference, you got an away game, and you've been playing really well. Feels like they would be due for a loss. So hopefully all these players think that, know that, and kick it into overdrive for the next 60 minutes.
Hey, to be fair, what day did they play the Mammoth on? Sunday? Salt Lake City, very high elevated place. They might be, semi-acclimated to the altitude by now. So that could be a little bit of a sneak advantage coming in to Ball Arena at the Mile High City. So that could be something.
Fair point.
Yeah, it's still a better name.
Stupid name.
National Arena. So
both bad.
I don't have much room to talk. But interesting schedule coming up here for the Bolts with the West Coast road trip. Then they'll be back home to take on the Washington Capitals.
Ben has a very important comment.
Yes. Let me see. Didn't they travel?
Ben has a very important comment. You can bring that one up next.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, boo.
absolutely, boo. And for those that don't know, our producer, Eureka, is hiding here in the background, is a Avalanche fan, too.
Colorado.
Do you want to get to – I brought this up prematurely. Didn't they travel east to get to Denver from Salt Lake? I don't know, to be honest with you. Yes,
logistically, that's accurate, but I don't know what that necessarily does for rest or, then we had the time change thrown in there. Let's just throw another excuse as to why it's all weird.
Mercury's in retrograde.
I hate when that happens, man.
Can we ban Ethan from the chat? Get him out
of
here.
We can, yeah. Can we get a mod?
Get him out of here. Well, it'll be an interesting schedule for the Bolts. West Coast road trip, then back home with the Blackhawks. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Ring that bell for notifications. Follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning. All of that good fun stuff so that you can follow along and be with us here when we recap all of those games and join the conversation, just like all these lovely people did with us this week. So, guys, that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.